Hi, Chris Glynn here with the Nightlight Podcast. Our guest on the show is Paul Baker, and he's here to share with us a few of the incredible healing miracles that he's seen the Lord do both here in Uganda and in Germany. Paul's message to us is that you don't have to be a big-time healing evangelist or personality to have the faith to pray for people to be healed. God's miracle healing power is there for everyone who believes.
Nightlight. What a delight.
So, Paul, tell us, how did you first come into the healing ministry?
Well, I believe healing is part of salvation. And when I came to the Lord at that particular time, my former wife, she was the one that brought me to Jesus, and she really is still my hero, even though we're divorced. When I first received my first healing, that's when I really knew that healing is for today and not something that's in the past that belonged and then died out with the apostles. I received my first healing shortly after I was saved. That was in Germany. At that particular time, I was working for the British Army, and I had an accident at work. My neck was twisted. They took me to the hospital quickly, and then they said, "You were very, very lucky, but you have to have this strap around your neck for the next 2-3 weeks. Come back in 2-3 weeks, we x-ray again and we check out." And that evening, I came back from the hospital, and friends invited me over to a healing crusade from Reinhard Bonnke. He was in Africa, a very famous man. He was visiting Germany. And they forced me to go. I didn't want to go because I was in pain and had a headache. And at that crusade, an amazing thing happened, absolutely amazing. Reinhard Bonnke pointed me out from the vast hundreds and even thousands of people and said to me, "What do you have, sir?" And my reply was, "I'm English." And he said, "I didn't ask you who you were. I ask you, what did you have?" I told him about the accident, and he said, "Do you think Jesus can heal you?" And I didn't even hesitate. I said, "Of course he can." So I closed my eyes like any nice religious person would do. And within about 3-4 minutes, I was experiencing a warmth. It was like showering in a warm heat. I had my eyes closed, so I didn't see what was going on. I thought, well, somebody's turned the warm ventilator on or something, yeah? And that was my sort of normal reaction. And after this amazing incident, there were about 5,000 people praying for me. And after this incident, I realized I was healed. And Reinhard Bonnke said, "Do you think you're healed?" I said, "I am healed." And I just took this collar off and I started moving my neck. And it was 2 hours before, 3 hours before, the doctors had signed me off work for 3 weeks, yeah, with a twisted neck. Yeah. And that was the start of the healing ministries, really, getting my first physical healing.
Wow. Well, Paul, when was the first time after that you had the faith to pray for someone else to get healed? How did that come about?
The birth of my son, my oldest son, Samuel, he was about 2 years old at the time, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and he came running into the living room, and I was reading the paper. My former wife was sitting on the other side of the room. His eyes were just like wild, and you could see there was panic. We didn't know what was happening. His face was turning white, and my former wife said, "He's got something in his throat." The boy came straight to me, hugged me so tight, and I couldn't get his arms off of me. And I was forcing him away, and as I was forcing him away, he was resisting. And I thought, "My God, what's happening?" And then my wife says, "He's got something in his throat." And I forced him away, opened his mouth, put my fingers in his mouth, and tried to see if I could find anything. Nothing. And by then, his eyes were really sort of in panic. I turned him upside down. I hit him on his back so many times trying to release this, whatever it was. Nothing happened. And we're talking about 2 minutes after he'd come in. And it was a life and death situation. I just let go of the boy, fell on my knees and said, "Jesus." And the moment I said Jesus, he spat out a coin and it landed over the other side of the room. My wife was praying at that time, and she'd given the responsibility over to me to heal the boy, really. And she was praying. And as soon as she shouted out the name Jesus, my boy Samuel, he just spat the coin out. And the coin could have landed anywhere. And the coin landed straight into her hands as she was praying. And I can't imagine the response. That was the first time, really, that it happened. It was a beautiful situation, and I knew the power of God to heal in that moment, yeah. That was the first time, really.
As soon as you said the name Jesus, the child spat out the coin, and it landed across the room in your wife's praying hands.
My gosh, that's really extraordinary. How did it carry on from there? How did your healing ministry develop?
Well, I had my my own house of prayer in Germany. People were coming across from all parts of Germany over for counseling, healing. Many people come across received healing in Germany. And before I tell you about Africa, I'd love to tell you about two miracles that happened in our house of prayer. This was in Königswinter, a very famous tourist centre in Germany. I decided to open up an art gallery and a prayer gallery, all in one. Big, massive, great big printing hall, which I rented out. First night we opened up, I think there was only six or seven people. But one of the people that came in, a woman, she brought her two children, a girl and a boy. And the boy had a very, very hard heart condition. The heart would race. It would be like a machine gun. You put your hand on his heart and you just, the heart goes so fast, yeah? And as soon as she told me, I placed my hands on his heart and I said, wow. I said, that's fantastic. God is going to heal you now. And that was the point. I had the faith now. I didn't say tomorrow, now. And I just put my hand, one hand on the front and one hand on the back. And I commanded the heart to be normal, go back to normal in Jesus' name. And bang, within the second, the heart had changed from boom, boom. And the boy just looked at me. His eyes went wide open. He said, Mom, that man, it was like an electric shock. It went through me. And I never felt a thing. I never felt a thing, yeah. It was just faith operating. We had another wonderful healing there. Another little boy, different family. The mother came in. She says he's deaf in his right ear. Can't hear whatsoever in his right ear. I spoke to the boy in his left ear and I said, well, God is going to heal you today so you can hear in both ears. I put my finger in his ear and I commanded the eardrums to be opened in Jesus' name. Bang, it just opened. And it's happened here in Africa. So after seeing the results, really, I felt in my heart Germany was not the place for me to stay any longer. I'd been there 26 years and I realized there's more of working for God than in Germany. I felt in my heart it was Africa. I didn't know which country, but I felt it was Africa. Then I got an amazing telephone call from Uganda asking me to come for a holiday. So I came across for a holiday and just to see if this was the place. And after coming here the first time, I realized this was the place.
Nightlight's interview of the week.
And we're meeting Paul Baker, who's had a wonderful ministry that has taken him to all parts of Uganda, also the Congo, preaching, teaching, also praying for people to be healed. Paul, tell us some more testimonies of healings that have happened under your ministry here.
There have been so many beautiful miracles. I couldn't list them when they're written in heaven. There's so many. Whether somebody gets delivered from terrible evil spirits, yeah, for me, that's a healing as well. The manifestation of demonic powers, and it's so strong here in Uganda. We've had people in our church just scream as soon as I mention the name of Jesus, yeah. As soon as I've touched them, they've flown backwards. I mean, they've flown backwards, yeah. I've had people rolling over on the grass. We've had to hold people down as we're delivering people, and they get tremendously wild, yeah. And then you have to come to the devil, the demonic powers, and throw them out in Jesus' name. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Not many people want to do that sort of business. But you see, a person can be healed physically and also mentally. And these evil spirits, they're the ones that cause the sicknesses. And whether it's a physical sickness or a mental sickness, I noticed right at the beginning that it's very strongly manifested here in Uganda. A lot of it's from the tradition, the cultural background. And also many Christians actually go to witchcraft. That is the saddest part of it. They go to the church one moment, the next day they're into the shrine the next day. They wonder when they're picking up these spirits again, they come back to church and they ask to be delivered again. And I don't really understand why. I still don't understand why. But it's like they're serving two masters. When I started to cast out the spirits, even yesterday, and we had a prayer meeting yesterday in our church, was casting out demons in our church yesterday. And this is one of the leaders in the church. We've noticed that there are many types of healings that take place when I work locally. If I'm working in my home church, I've got 100% record on backs, especially on backs, hip joints, shoulder joints, and those things. God has given me a really a wonderful way where I can pray for the people with back injuries, deliver them from their sicknesses. This is in my church now, in the one in Entebbe. Also, which I found is also people that are coming to our church with HIV get healed. They get healed. We've had that several cases. In fact, the ones that have been in our church, one of them is now a pastor. She came to our church with HIV. She didn't know how to tell her fiancé. Yeah. She was frightened about it. She got them baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I told her, Jesus is going to transform your blood. If Jesus has saved you, he's going to heal you. So she got healed, and many other people that came for HIV got healed as well. When I'm working locally in my church, I find the power of the Holy Spirit is there. I find the people are responsive to the Holy Spirit, but it's different when I go into other churches. When I'm in other churches, I find myself absolutely without, how's the right way to explain it? I'm like a tiger. I'll go into a church and I'll say, today I've come in the power of Jesus Christ to free those that are demonically empowered with the devil and to heal the sick. I claim the message from Matthew 10 verse 8 and also from Luke 4:18, where God commands us to cleanse the sick and the lepers and raise the dead. And when I go into other churches, I feel absolutely unrestricted. The pastors just allow me to carry on. And that's great because I just follow the Holy Spirit. I'm in one place one second and the next place the next second. Whether it's throwing out somebody that has diabetes or freeing somebody that's having pain, even injuries. Yeah, I've seen so many miracles here. Yeah, one of the best miracles I've seen happened in Magamaga. That's on the way from Jinja to Iganga. The pastor from that particular church, Pastor Andrew, invited me to his church to preach. That was the very first time. And he said, Paul, he said, we have a woman in our church, but she can't come to church because she has an open wound. And can we go and pray for her? I said, sure. So we left the church, walked down the hill, went down over the road and into these back alleyways and found this woman. She came out on her knees. Then the pastor said, forgotten her name, he said, show Pastor Paul what the problem is. And then she opened up her blouse in the area where the belly button would be. And there was like the size of the palm of a man's hand, an open wound. And the African skin is brown, but the open wound was pink. When I looked at it, I was really amazed because there was no skin on this open wound. And I said to the pastor, because the woman couldn't speak a lot of English, I said to the pastor, Andrew, how long has this been like this? And he said she had a cesarean 4 years ago. And since then it hasn't healed. And I said, praise the Lord. And he just looked at me and I said, right, let's see what God can do about this one. And then I commanded the skin. I didn't touch the skin near the. I touched over an area about 4 or 5 inches away. And I laid the hands on that area. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command the skin to regenerate and cover this area. And left it at that. And that was it. That was my prayer. And then we prayed the normal goodbye prayer. And then I left. And then 2 months later, I got a telephone call to say, come and see. And I said, see what? And he said, come and see the miracle. And I said, which miracle? What are you talking about, Andrew? He said, do you remember the lady you prayed for? I said, which one? I prayed for so many. And he said, the one with the open wound. And I said, oh yeah, I remember that one. He said, come and see. So I travelled over to Magamaga again. The news had got round very, very quickly. When I got to the church, they started their church service, and the woman with the open wound was now at the front of the church. And as soon as she saw me, she came over to me with two other pastors, and they said, let's go behind the curtains and show Pastor Paul what has happened. So they took me then behind the curtains. I took a photograph before of what it looked like, and I took a photograph after. She showed us then what I'd seen before, the open wound, and there was nothing. And there was just a straight line, and you couldn't get a straighter line. It was as if somebody had put a laser cutting right through the whole of her stomach. There was just like a laser line. There was nothing. There was a fold of the skin. She was a big lady. There was a fold of the skin, but there was just a line. There were no stitches. There was no crooked line. It was just straight. And I looked and I said, God, you're the God of creation. No human doctor could possibly heal in that way. It's not possible. And as soon as that happened, I realized God is using me here in Uganda for extraordinary miracles. That's one of many, many miracles. But I love to tell that story because I've seen it with my own eyes. And when you see before and after results, that's when you know the living God is doing something. But it's interesting. When I was at school, I always wanted to be a doctor. But our school in Oxford, they didn't teach Latin. And because it's a qualification, you have to know the Latin background to train as a doctor. I didn't get that experience at my school. And I feel myself now as a doctor, yeah, but for Jesus, yeah. And the only qualification I have is the name of Jesus. And believe in that Jesus will heal.
Nightlight. You're listening to an international edition of Nightlight, shining God's love light to the world.
Paul, what has been, would you say, maybe the greatest healing miracle that you've witnessed so far?
When you ask me maybe which is the greatest miracle I've ever seen, a miracle is a miracle. And whether or not it's my son that's spat out this coin, or whether or not it was my dog being raised from the dead, the greatest miracle that I've experienced is not the personal ones I've had, but it's one that I saw in Germany. And it's very rare to see these type of miracles in Germany. Because I was interested in healing, I was invited to go to a Maurice Cirulla healing crusade and be part of the healing team. Maurice Cirulla, as you know, is an American Jew. He's very famous. He comes to Germany occasionally, and it happened to be in Dusseldorf on that particular year. That was 1992. And we were then part of his healing team. We were there for the weekend. And on the Saturday in the morning and the afternoon sessions, Morris would tell us how the healing Holy Spirit would be moving in the evening time. He was prophetically speaking how the healing waves would come into the church. And so we were all anticipating the healings that would be coming. After we were more or less taught what was going to happen in the evening time, he did something very strange. He told the healing ministers to stand on one row of chairs. One would stand on one end of the row, another would stand at the other end of the row, like 50 chairs or 40 chairs or whatever they were, and each one would pray for that row of chairs. And so we would lay hands on the chairs, empty chairs, no people, and then just move from row to row, lay hands on them in Jesus' name. This was about an hour before the evening session came up. We were there, obviously, the whole time. So we were inside, and the people queuing up were outside. And when the people started to come in, I remember saying this. I remember saying, God, I want to see your power of your miracles tonight. And don't give me anybody with silly back orders with headaches. I don't want those people. I want the real ones. Yeah. As I was saying that, because I like to see miracles, see them. Not hear about them. If somebody says they've got a back pain and then the pain is gone, you don't really know it because you don't see it. Yeah, but I wanted to see a physical one. As I was saying this, a little girl came humping down the steps. More or less, it was like she was like a cripple. She was being assisted by the father, the mother, the sister, and the uncle. Her name was Angelica Lal. I'll always remember that. I saw this little girl and I said, how are you? And I introduced myself. And I then said, tonight you're going to get your miracle. I said, tonight you're going to get your miracle. I could see that she was in a lot of disorder, but I didn't know what had happened. So after I told her she was going to get her miracle, I then leant her over to the father, which I recognised was the father of this child. And I asked him, his name was Kenneth and his wife Daisy. I said, what has happened to your daughter? And he said that my daughter is Angelica. She's 18 years old. I said, what? I said, she looks like she's 11 or 12. He said, it was when she was 11 years old when it happened. And she said, we were in a Methodist church in a city called Kassel in Germany. Angelica started getting really hard pains and we had to rush her to the hospital. And when we rushed her to the hospital, the doctor says, we don't think your daughter's going to make it. She has a tremendous problem within her stomach and we don't think there's no way we can cure this sickness. And both of them being Methodist Christians, they prayed to the Lord. And the Lord heard their prayers. The girl was saved. But the result being that Angelica, they had to remove her stomach. Complete stomach. So she was being fed through the nose with a liquid. This was what when I saw her, I saw this like tube going through her nose. And then it was going, also there was a bag on her side, a plastic bag. She had a small cane to sort of walk up and down with, like a crooked stick or whatever. She'd been in that condition 7 years. I then heard the story and then the faith was building inside me. And I went back to Angelica and I said, tonight you are going to get your miracle. Tonight you are going to be healed. And all I could see across her forehead was the words pain. Pain. I could see it visibly. Pain. I said, you're going to be healed. And the service started from Morris Sorella. There was a few songs going on. And all the time, I was expecting the miracle to... I wouldn't let go of this girl. I was right next to her, but I was praying for her. I was expecting any time for the miracle. And then all of a sudden, she just looked at me. The word disappeared from her forehead. And she started opening her eyes and started jumping up and down in front of everybody. She was in the middle of the congregation, yeah? She was about 40 yards away from the front. And she started jumping up and down and she started screaming, I'm healed, yeah? And all of a sudden, the television camera started flashing over to different parts of the auditorium. We were told if we saw any healings to take them through to the front. I then took Angelica and she wasn't limping anymore. I took her with the arm and we went down pretty fast to the stage. I went up to the stage with her. Some German guy started talking to me in German. I said, "Even forget it. I can speak in English, yeah, because I'm British." And then I said to Morris, who was on the stage, I said, "She's just been healed." Yeah. So I passed the girl over to Morris. I then went back for the next miracle and the next miracle and the next miracle that happened shortly after Angelica. So while the television cameras were on focused on Morris Sorella and Angelica, I went then back to the position where I was, but the Holy Spirit was leading me from one side of the congregation to the next side. So I missed what was going on stage. But later, I could pick this up because it was shown the next day. What actually happened was that Morris Cirillo said exactly what my spirit said. He said, you go back to the doctors and get that thing taken out of your nose. I then carried on working with the Holy Spirit the rest of that evening. The next day I went to work. I telephoned, because we passed contacts, I telephoned then the father, and he telephoned me back at work and he said, Paul, do you think we should take that tube out of her nose? Because she gets all of her nutritions and all of her food out of that tube. And I said, Kenneth, I said, the stomach is there. Is there. God has put it back. And he said, do you really believe that? I said, I don't believe it. I know it. I know it. Just as much as I know my hand is in front of my hand, I said, I know it. He said, because we're going to go to the hospital now and they're going to be really adamant and they're going to refuse. And I said, Kenneth, what does Angelica say? He said, she wants the tube out. I said, then let her take it out. Let them take it out. And there was a big humbaloo at the hospital because the doctors refused and in the end had to sign a paper. And after they signed the paperwork, they took the tube out. There was one in the stomach and one through the nose. As soon as they took it out, the first thing that Angelica did, she said, Daddy, take me to McDonald's. And he said she'd not eaten solid food for 7 years because she couldn't eat it. Yeah, the stomach was not there. So she went to McDonald's. The father bought her a hamburger thinking, that's it. My daughter's going to die. And Angelica ate the hamburger and she ate other foods and she could eat anything. Within 3 months, I saw the family again within 3 months. She'd grown. Yeah, she then went on to take a driving license. At that particular time, she was the little girl in the schoolyard that was with pain and nobody would be talking to her. She'd just sit there being like a beggar, really, in the school and nobody taking a lot of notice of her. And now she was jumping around, taking part in the school's activities and everything was amazing. You know, that is the power of God. When everything is broken and devastated and destroyed from the devil, when God actually physically recreates something, puts a stomach back in, which has been taken out. You know, these are things you think they're not possible. But we have a God that created us. We have a God that can, if your arm is cut off, God can grow another arm. It's for the human mind, it's not possible. The Bible tells us, you know, if you believe, and that's where our challenges are in faith, to believe. Not what our mind tells us, but to believe in things and bring them into existence. Because that is faith, bringing those things into existence that are not the things that are not there.
I feel all right when I'm listening to Nightlight.
Nightlight.
You're tuned in to Nightlight.
Paul, every time we meet, you always have so many amazing testimonies to share. And your simple faith that God can use you or use anyone to perform miracles of healing is always an inspiration and a faith booster for me. We don't have a lot of time left, Paul, but any other testimonies that you'd like to share?
There was a lovely one. I was up in Lira on a crusade. I was preaching to about 6,000 people. It was really amazing amount of people there. I remember on the last night that I was preaching, I called the sick forward. And the first thing I saw was this guy with a staff. I looked at him and I looked at his ankle on his leg, on his right ankle, and it was swollen. It was like a football. And I thought, oh, my goodness. So I said, what happened? And he said, it's completely broken. And I looked at it and I said, Jesus is going to heal you now. And I grabbed his staff and threw it away. I grabbed his staff and threw it away. And I said, walk and go. He just looked at me as if I were crazy and then walked and went. And as he walked down onto the stage. I was with the next, laying hands on the next people. They were falling over forwards and backwards. And as he went onto the stage, I never saw this, but everybody else did. I'm so, they said, as soon as he went onto the stage, he grabbed the microphone. They saw the swelling shrink down to nothing and the bone was completely healed. And this is so beautiful because it's faith and action. Yeah. If I hadn't thrown his stick away, he wouldn't have done it. I saw this also happen in Moyo, North Uganda, Moyo, and there was an old lady, she couldn't walk properly. She was really, really in pain when she would walk. So I grabbed her stick and I said, you don't need this anymore, walk. So I threw her stick away. She looked at me as if I was, you know, I've gone crazy. I grabbed her by the hand and then escorted her around. And within 5 minutes, she was really jumping up and down. One of the loveliest miracles I saw here was also happening in Kampala. There was a beautiful girl, her name was Priscilla. I was preaching in a church at that time and preaching on healing and deliverance. After the church service, we then started to deliver to this particular family. The mother worked in the government, in the external affairs, and she brought her two twin daughters down with her. It was after the service. We started to deliver this particular girl. Her name was Nakato. And she was full of demonic powers. Her eyes were white. The eyes had gone back into the back of her head, and all you saw were white. It's something like a nightmare looking at these eyes. And I cast out the spirit of death, the inheritance spirits over her, with another minister. His name was Peter. We then worked together. Within 5 minutes, we'd freed her. But the only problem was she was a twin. And the twin sister was about 5 yards away watching all that was going on. And the spirits left the twin and went bang straight into the other twin. So we freed the one and the next one, the spirits jumped across. So we left the one, went over to the second one and did the same thing. And then the mum was so amazed because her daughters had been demonic possessed for some time. And she tried everything. And then she said, Paul, she said, can you help my daughter, Priscilla? And I said, what happened? Where is she? She's at home and she's paralyzed. And I said, fantastic. I said, no problem. What happened? And then she told me a story. Then she lost her husband about a year and a half ago. The man that had been visiting her was a witch doctor. The man had placed a spell on her husband, the father. He died. And this witch doctor had actually claimed the daughter, Priscilla, as whatever. He laid hands on this girl, Priscilla, and since then she couldn't move. From the waist downwards, she was paralyzed. When I heard the story, I thought, fantastic, this is one for you, Jesus. I love this one. So they set up an appointment, and I then went with this other man, Peter, that was helping me with the twin sisters. We went to the home, and I got out of the car before we entered the home, and we started blessing the walls of the house in the name of Jesus Christ and claiming victory in Jesus' name. We went around the whole of the house, stopped in certain places. I was feeling the Spirit of God saying, stop here or stop there. And I said, something happened here. And she said, yeah, this was where the witch doctor was staying. And I said, something happened here. Well, I went into one place and the hens, they saw me. They flew out and they just went wild and they just flew. And then we started claiming the area over in Jesus' name. We then went into the house. I saw a couple of things and said, take that one down, take that one down. And then when we got into the living room, I was really cheeky. I could see the relatives all sitting there. There were 8 or 9 of them sitting there, including this girl, Priscilla. She was 15 years old. And when I went in there, I can remember the words I said. And I said, you are only here to see the miracle. Those are the words I said. You are only here to see the miracle. So I said, where is Priscilla? And they showed me because everybody was sitting and I didn't know which one it was. So they said, Priscilla, you come here. So they picked her up and they put her in a chair. And I said, Priscilla, I am not going to lay hands on you. I am not going to lay hands on you, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get out of your chair and you're going to walk today. And I said, silver and gold have a number in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and go now. And she looked at me as if I was an alien or something. And she said, what? So I repeated it. I said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and go. And I said, here's my hand. And she grabbed my hand and she started to move out of the chair. And the people were just crying. They were just crying. And she stood in a position she had not stood up for 1.5 years. She was paralyzed, completely paralyzed. And I didn't even pray for the demonic powers to leave her. I didn't even pray. It was such a quick prayer. Yeah, I didn't even mess around. But this was faith and action working. I told her, you're going to get healed. And I said, get up and go. So she was doing the faith and the action. I was just the one instructing. So she grabbed my hand. And within, I would say it was about half a minute, she'd forced herself up from the chair, standing. And I said, now we're going to walk. And she said, what? And I said, we're going to walk together. So I said, let's walk together. So she held my hand, my arm. And we were then slowly moving over the living room, in the living room. And it took, I don't know, about a minute to move like 5 or 6 steps. Within 10 minutes, we'd gone round the outside of the building several times. Outside, and she was now picking up her knees and everything. Peter was, he was out of this house. He was just amazed, yeah. You see, that's where we as Christians have to get to, and we have to go beyond that. We've got a living God that will do anything, yeah? We've got a God, he doesn't want these people to be crippled. He doesn't want the ones to be suffering. He doesn't want the ones to be in the hospital. He wants us as Christians to go and release them. As I said right at the beginning, there's nothing spectacular about me. I just believe that Jesus will use me to do it. And I believe God will use anybody to heal anybody, because Jesus is not especially for the famous guys. He's also for the little kids on the street, you know?
Shining bright through the dark night, you're listening to Nightlight.
Paul, is there anything you'd like to wrap up with, or anything else that you'd like to share that will give others faith for healing?
Thank you for that. That's a really great question, because many viewers or listeners, when they hear about messages, yeah, when they hear about them, when they see the television programs and radio programs about people being healed, they think it's not for them. They think it's only for a special place or a special time. God can heal you on the toilet. God can heal you in your bed while you're eating food, while you're in the taxi, or when you're shopping. You know, God will heal you, but the question is, you have to activate your faith. God's healing is always there, but you have to activate your faith. You have to believe, even though your mind will say this is crazy, even though the pain will hurt you. The message is clear. If you want Jesus to heal you, he already has. It's just a question of you activating the words he tells us. He says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, past tense. Yeah. And when we get that past tense in, and we know that the sicknesses can be brought to the cross or placed on the cross. That's the way I look at it. If there's sickness, get it onto the cross of Jesus. Yeah, put it onto the cross. And if it's on the cross, it's not on me. If it's on the cross, it's not on that person. So the sickness is off that person, onto the cross where it belongs. And when it's onto the cross of Jesus, you don't have to worry about it. So whatever sickness you have, and I don't care if it's AIDS, I don't care if it's HIV, I don't care if it's blindness, I don't care if it's deafness, dumbness, if you've lost your arm or your leg or your stomach or whatever, God can heal each and every one of those sicknesses. To finalize, there is no degree on sickness. If somebody's got a cut, yeah, or somebody's lost a leg, both parts of the limbs are sick. And the question is, how do they get healed? And there is no limit. The human brain will say, well, it's easier for a cut to be healed than the limb to go back on. But not in God's eyes. It's the same. Healing is healing. It's 100%. God created man and woman to be physically, perfectly, mentally okay. And it was only because Satan, when he entered into the world, that the sickness came onto mankind and sin. And that's the origin of sin. When we know the origin of sin and sickness is by Satan, then we can conquer the powers of Satan through the name of Jesus Christ, through the blood and through Calvary, and then accept the healing. When we know that healing belongs to us, that's when we receive it.
Well, listeners, I'll now tell you that I recorded these amazing healing miracles with my friend Paul Baker on live radio here in Uganda a few years ago. This show is a memorial to Paul, who went to be with the Lord earlier this year. I knew Paul for around 15 years, and every time we met, he always had fresh miracle testimonies to share. I pray these testimonies have encouraged your faith that our God is still a God of miracles, and that truly all things are possible to them that believe. God bless you, Paul. I look forward to seeing you again in heaven.